Tonight and open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. We're in the process of going through a study called First Things First, and this is our fourth and final part of First Things First. We started it out with realigning, getting things in the right order. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And then we talked about time, how we spend our time. And then last week we talked about the Lord's holiness. He is holy, completely holy. Tonight we're going to look at part four, broken cisterns. And this is just, I couldn't think of a message that actually happened to fall at a more apropos time than tonight. So beginning in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 13. The word of the Lord came to me, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. I remembered the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through the land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me, that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through the land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priest did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following the worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Kittim and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there was ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods, yet they're not gods at all? But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I just have to admit, I know that this was written specifically to the people of Israel, the people that you called out to be witnesses for you, called out to be leaders for you. Lord, I know that this is specifically for them, but Father, it seems so much like it's for us as well. Because Father, you have done so much for us. And there's never been a nation in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that you blessed so greatly as you have the United States of America. But Lord, we're walking down the same path. Father, I pray that tonight, I know that all of America is not listening, but I pray that tonight you will speak to us, the ones who are listening tonight, because your word is always straightforward, it's always true. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight about keeping what's right, right, keeping what's first, first. And you are above all things. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to go through this passage and look at some of the situations in it. In verses 1 through 3, I just want to read it one more time. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah. He said, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through the land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. You see, there was a time when Israel was following God. And I connect it to that passage in Psalm chapter 1, like the tree that's planted by the streams of water that bears its fruit in season, whatsoever it does prospers. So much so it looks a lot like these words that are written here in verses 1 through 3. Jerusalem and Israel was situated by the water of God. And so he begins to go through their former faithfulness. He said, do you recall the devotion of your youth? Literally refers to the natural devotion that a child has to a parent. That's how the people used to look to God. They used to look to Him for everything that they needed. Do you remember when Dad used to be your hero? Do you remember how great it was when your mom would kiss it and make it better? You know, it's amazing how far away we've gotten from times like that. He said, as a bride, you loved me. Literally means to love, honor, and respect Him. I tell you, folks, it's obvious when a country, when a people begin to look at other things rather than at God. And we don't love and honor and respect Him like we should. He said, you were holy to the Lord, the first fruits of the harvest. God was showing all who would look what it was like for people to follow Him wholeheartedly. There was a time when this nation stood for God. And I dare say, for the most part, this nation is not standing for God. They're standing for a little g God themselves. What I want, what I desire, what I would like to do, that's what I want. It's the same thing. Nothing new under the sun, right? It's the same thing as Israel went through. He said, even though you were faithful and you're not faithful anymore, I've always been faithful. Look at the last part of verse 3. It says, all who devoured her were held guilty and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. In other words, God says, I wasn't going to let people come and overtake you. I was going to protect you. I was going to continue to give you chances to turn to me. But ultimately, you've decided not to. Well, did God take His hand off of the nation of Israel? Yes. And they were taken off into captivity. And they were spread out among all the earth. God said, they followed me through the wilderness. Recall, I led them through the wilderness with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud of smoke during the day. There was no guessing if God was with them. They could see the evidence of Him every single day. Now look around us. Look around this nation. What are the evidences we see of God in our presence? There are very few and far between because there's not that many people literally living for God. They're living for themselves. He said, even those who came against you, all who devoured you, were held guilty. He said, I didn't let them get away. I took out my vengeance upon them. And you recall how many times in Scripture that they would come up on a huge enemy and there was no way they could possibly win, and all of a sudden God would just take them out? You see, God does what He says He will do. He always does. And by the way, He still does. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in just a little bit. He said, you were situated by the water. But verses 5 through 12 show how they were then separated by worthless things. Worthless idols. Look at verse 5. It says, this is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. That is a powerful message right there. Because when you begin to follow anything else other than God, we become worthless. God can't use us. We take our eyes off of Him, put them on ourselves or on things or on other people, then God can't use us. He said, when did an idol ever save you? Was there an idol set up in a temple somewhere that when you got in trouble, they came to your defense? No. Why? Because they're an idol. Would they have brought you out of Egypt? And by the way, Egypt's always a picture of sinfulness and slavery. Who brought you out of that slavery? Who brought you out of that place of sin? Could an idol do that? The answer is no. An idol could not do that. Literally, through Jeremiah, God is speaking to His people and saying, listen, why would you turn from me to the things of this world and to the things that you crave for yourself? Verses 6 through 8 talk about our worthy God. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness and through a land of deserts and rifts and a land of drought and darkness and a land where no one travels and no one lives and brought us to a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce? But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests even did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. See, what fault did your fathers find in me, he asks. You see, as a father goes, so goes the family. And is it any wonder that so many families are messed up? Because almost 40% of the children in America are living in a home without their biological father. He said they didn't seek me. Neither did the priest seek me. Neither did the leaders seek me. Neither have the prophets sought me. I'm the one who brought you through the wilderness. I'm the one who brought you into this fertile land. He is a worthy God. Then he brings them into the courtroom to witness against them. Verses 9 through 12 says it like this. Therefore I bring charges against you, declares the Lord. And I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Kittim and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there's ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they're not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. He says, I bring charges against you. Listen, folks, we think of God as a loving God, and He is. There's no one that loves like God. No one. God loves you more than anyone else could ever love you. But God has standards, and God has laws, and God has things that He's put into place for us to follow for a reason. And when we look at God and say, hey, I'm really glad you're God, but you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. Then God will bring judgment. And He says, I bring charges against you, Israel. I bring charges against your children's children. You have exchanged the glory that you had for worthless idols. Now let's just stop for a moment and just take a picture of where we are right now as a nation. What seems to be the most important thing in this nation? Money, sports, entertainment. Whatever I want to do, however I can feel better, that's what I want to do. When's the last time you heard leaders in this country standing up and saying, we've got to get back to God? You don't hear that. Why? Because people would be, shocked that somebody would say that. You exchanged your glory for worthless idols. You will receive great horror, declares the Lord. And I tell you what, when that comes, and it came against Israel, and it may come against us very soon, it'll scare your socks off. Because what we think is so okay will be seen for what it really is. Because God doesn't measure by popular vote. God doesn't measure by who thinks one thing is better than the other. God measures by Himself and His righteousness. And then in verse 13, He says, you've become satisfied by the wretched. Look at what it says in verse 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me. In other words, they turned away from me. Forsaken means to not even act like you remember that person anymore. Have you ever had any person in your life that's ever treated you like that? That doesn't want to be around you anymore? That doesn't want... I'm not talking about your teenage kid when they got in trouble, okay? But what I'm talking about is somebody in your life that used to be close to, and now they don't even want to talk to you. They don't want to even act like you're real. That's what this word means. God says, I did everything for you. I brought you out of slavery. I brought you through the wilderness. I fed you every day. You never went hungry. I brought you to water to drink. I kept you even in the 40 days in the wilderness. Your clothes never wasted away. You didn't have, all you had to do was follow me. I did all of this for you. And look at what you're doing. I was the spring of living water, but you have forsaken me. You have forsaken me. John chapter 4, verses 9 through 14. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with from the well, and the well is deep. Where could you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from him himself, as also did his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give to them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Guess what? We have forsaken that as a country, as a people, as a nation. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, all we have to do is come to Him. If we will just turn to Him, if we'll stay in Him, if we will be with Him and listen to Him and be in His Word, He won't forsake us. But we have forsaken Him, the Scripture says. And then the second thing He says is this, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot even hold water. Folks, that's just a beautiful, that's just an amazing picture of where we are. Because people are looking everywhere for things that will satisfy them. What would satisfy them? Living water. But they don't want the living water. They want something else. And so they look everywhere else. And they even begin to do their own thing, dig cisterns. But every cistern they dig, thinking that they're going to catch their own living water, will not hold water at all. They're looking for satisfaction. They can't find it. I can't get no satisfaction. Nothing satisfies the soul except Jesus. But when your soul is broken and you're not looking to the source of life, you will continually leak any amount of water that might come your way. They have forsaken me and they've dug broken cisterns. Well, I want to finish up with another scripture that all of us probably know by heart. And I know it was written specifically, as this passage was, for the people of Israel. But it's so apropos for us as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If my people. Repentance. The Greek term, which is taken from the Hebrew word, metanoeo, is a complete change or a turnaround. It's a change of mind that results in a change of action. If my people. He didn't say if all the people in America. If all the people in Israel. If all the people in the world. He didn't say that. He says if my people. Who are called by my name. You see, there has to be a change of mind that results in a change of action. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says it like this. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And oh, folks, there's lots of patterns that you can line up with. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing and perfect will. If my people... My people called by my name. Who are called by his name? Christians. We're called by his name. If my people called by my name will humble themselves. In other words, we need to say we were wrong. You know how we were wrong? Because we too got our eyes on the things around us rather than keeping focused on the one who gave us everything. We are very selfish and greedy people at heart. And the only thing that will keep us from being like that is to have a new heart. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, say you're wrong. If you'll humble yourselves and pray. This word pray means literally to call out to God. We need to call out to God. This nation needs to call out to God. This world needs to call out to God. My people called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What that literally means is to look to Him because He is everything. He is our living water. We need to look to Him for leadership. We need to look to Him for direction, for teaching, for all the things that we need. We need to look to Him. We cannot look to our government to meet our needs. They won't. They will spend money they don't have. They will send some money back to you to somehow bless you. But it wasn't even theirs to give. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You see, because God knows us all. And there are things that we have done and may still do sometimes that are wrong. We have to repent of those things. Turn from them and humble ourselves before God and ask for Him to forgive us and pray and seek His face and turn from those wicked ways. He says, if my people will do that, then, not until then, but then, if they will do those things, I will hear them. You see, He always hears us, but He will listen to a repentant heart. God knows our hearts, and He knows if we're repentant or not. And why would He listen to someone who says, oh God, I'm so sorry for doing that, when we're really not sorry for doing that? Why would He listen to that? And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will what? Forgive them. 1 John 1:9. If you will confess, with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. Listen, God will do something for you. If you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I will forgive their sins and I will heal. That word heal means to restore. Restoration. Brought back into a right relationship. You know, when I was a young boy, I was so proud to be an American. It was something I heard all the time. It was something I witnessed all the time. As people would reach out and help each other, take care of each other, love each other. And it really didn't matter if you had a little bit more or a little bit less than your neighbor. What mattered is we were here together. And we had people who marched off to war multiple times. And many of them gave their lives for this country. And why would somebody do that? Because they loved this country. But mark my words, things don't change. It won't be very long until nobody will want to go and fight for this country. I mean, what young boy growing up has something to look forward to serve this nation? A nation that doesn't care about anybody else except themselves. My people, who call by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear, and I will forgive, and I will heal. I will restore. What has been eaten will be given back. Father, I come to You tonight. And I pray again, You'll give us another chance to make first things first. Lord, I pray for revival in this nation and that people would turn back to You. And they would realize all the money in the world and all the things of this world could never satisfy. But only You can. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.